This is what we call the Red Letter Series class. Because our theme this year is Jesus is Lord, we wanted to take a closer look at some things that Jesus said. You know, it seemed like a reasonable thing to do. And so what happened was we went through the Gospels looking for passages things that Jesus said that we haven't talked as much about for a variety of reasons. You know, we've talked about parables, we've talked about Sermon on the Mount, we've done some things, but we wanted to sort of go through some of the things that we haven't talked about as much. And so that's what this class is about. And today, what I'm going to be doing is talking about what Jesus said about the Scriptures. You know, that's where we're headed. And before we start, let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your son and for his example and how to use your word. We thank you for this chance to study that this morning. Father, I pray that you be with me as I teach and be with us as we listen and help us to learn from your word what you would have us to know and to understand and have the perspective you would have us to have about your word, your scriptures. Father, we thank you and be with us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so again, we're talking about the Red Letter Series. What Jesus said about the Scriptures. Why should we study the red letters? The red letters refers to the fact that you have, a lot of us have translations of the Bible that have the words of Jesus written in red. And, you know, of course, Jesus is Lord. So a great place to start is, what did he say? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So, obviously, we need to do what he says. In order to do what he says, we need to know what he says, don't we? You know, we're not going to just get lucky and happen to do it. All scriptures are inspired. We're not implying here that the things that Jesus said are somehow more divine or more authoritative than the things that Paul wrote or Peter wrote. And we'll look at some of that in this class. But obviously, if Jesus is Lord, you want to start out looking at what he said, and in particular, how he used the scriptures. I need to get my process down here. Relevance of today's class, you know, why is it important? You know, you think, okay, we all believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But, you know, the inerrancy of Scripture, the fact that the principle that Scriptures are accurate and they are authoritative, and that, you know, what we have in our script, in our laps, in our Bibles, is from God. That is under attack in our world. People are questioning things that the Scriptures say. That, you know, the Scriptures make some comments about the role of women in the church, and a lot of people don't like what it says. It says some things about homosexuality, and a lot of people in our culture don't like what it says. It says some things about divorce and remarriage or even marriage itself, which our culture doesn't embrace. You know, we all know of people that live a different way from that. It talks about the fact that Jesus is the only way to God. And that's increasingly unpopular in our culture. In our culture, it tries to embrace everybody and say everybody's okay. And those are just a few examples. But all of those are attacks on the inerrancy of Scripture and the authority of Scripture. And so what we're looking to do today is to find out, how did Jesus use the Scriptures? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. God spoke through that event, telling us you need to listen to this guy, listen to what he said, and so we need to find out what he said about the Scriptures, because if the guy who was raised from the dead by God says that the Scriptures are inspired and need to be used a certain way, then he's the one who should know, right? Okay, so questions we're going to consider as we go through this. We'll figure this out in a minute. Okay. Remember a few weeks ago, midweek, Gary Robertson preached a class about how to study the Bible as a series of things. And one of his classes was talking about these questions that you can look at while you're reading the Scriptures. So we're going to try to kind of do some of that in this class. So some of those questions, you know, as you're reading a passage, you ask yourself, is there a promise here I can claim? You ask yourself, is there a command to obey? Is there a sin that I need to avoid? Is there a teaching about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit I need to believe? I think you could throw in there, is there a teaching about the Scriptures that I need to believe? Okay.
Is there an example to follow or to avoid? We're going to see several of those. Is there a difficulty to explore? Is there something in the passage I need to pray about? So those are just some things to help you to extract out of the Scriptures what God's trying to say to you. That's the different ways of looking at that question. What is God trying to say to me? So we're going to kind of look at some of those as we go along. There are lots of New Testament examples using the Old Testament, and that's a great way to learn how God would have us use the Scriptures. Okay, the numbers up here, it depends on what you count. You know, it's really, if you started to set out and count 180 times that Jesus referred to the Old Testament, you might come up with a number in that ballpark. I saw different numbers when I was kind of researching this. I didn't actually count them. But from what I can tell, he referred to the Old Testament about 180 times. Okay, so that's a lot of examples we can use of how Jesus himself used the Scriptures. The entire New Testament refers to the Old Testament about, some estimates are around 4,000 times. Lots of uses of the Old Testament and the New. And you can look at how at those cases and see, how should we be using the Scriptures today. We're not going to look at all 4,000 today, so y'all can rest easy. But that's maybe 10% of the New Testament is references to the Old Testament. We have a lot of examples to go by. Okay, the Old Testament, when you're reading about the New Testament, in the New Testament, you see references to the Old. There's a couple of ways that you see things talked about. Sometimes it talks about three sections in the Bible, the Old Testament. There's the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Luke 24:44 uses that, for example. You also see sometimes Psalms is grouped in with the Law. So there's the Law and the Prophets. Because in John 10:34, Jesus quotes from Psalms, and he says, the Law says this, and he just quotes a Psalm. So it was included in the Law sometimes. It wasn't like it was a real strict grouping, but everybody knew what he was talking about. And so you'll see that through it. But basically, everything in the Old Testament is included in those categories. Okay. Today's class, we're going to look at what did Jesus say about the Scriptures and how he used the Scriptures. And that'll help us understand what he wants us to do. We want to, like Richard was saying Thursday night, we want to be like Jesus. And one of the ways we want to be like Jesus is in how he used the Scriptures. Okay. And also, obviously, since Jesus is Lord, when he said something about the Scriptures, it carries authority. Okay. Jesus knew the Scriptures. Okay, we're going to look at several examples of this, but Jesus knew the Scriptures. And this is the, he says in Luke 2, verses 46 to 47, we find Jesus learning the Scriptures as a child. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was maybe a 12-year-old boy at this point. And a couple of things here. First, you find him in the temple courts. He's asking questions, right? He's listening. He's learning. And yet also, it says he was giving them answers because they were amazed at his answers. They were asking him questions. So what they were finding was, here is a 12-year-old boy who was very serious about the Scriptures. He knew more than they expected a 12-year-old boy to know. And he was interested in a way that most 12-year-old boys are not. Okay? A great example to follow. Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, you could say, okay, well, but he was the Son of God. Yeah, he created the world. He knew all this stuff already. Okay. I don't know exactly how much he magically or miraculously knew when he was a 12-year-old boy. But it certainly is a great example for us to aspire to, for our 12-year-old boys and girls to be, have an impressive knowledge of the Scriptures. Compared to their peers, okay? It's an important thing to do. I mean, I think that this is recorded in the Scriptures for a reason. For us to have a respect for and an expectation for children to be like that. Okay? Jesus teaching at the feast, he says in John 7:15, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Okay? Well, they must have missed the fact that he was listening to the teachers of the law back when he was a 12-year-old boy, right? It wasn't that he didn't study. He hadn't been studying under the Pharisees or under the Sadducees or under the established leaders of the church. But, But the point is that he had an amazing knowledge of the Scriptures. And again, that's a great example for us to follow and to aspire to, is to try to know the Scriptures so well that, you know, that we can use them accurately and effectively so that they can't really, you know, people can't refute what we have to say. Matthew 22:29, Jesus talking. The Sadducees came to him trying to trap him with a question about marriage and resurrection. And Jesus replied, it says here, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." Okay. Never want to have Jesus say that about you, do you? You know, I don't want him to say that. You know, you're wrong because you don't know the Scriptures. Now, they should have known the Scriptures. They prided themselves in their opinion of themselves that they knew the Scriptures, but they didn't. They didn't study it the way that God would have them to do it. And, of course, obviously, the implication here is that knowing the Scriptures and the power of God are important things. He's talking to the teachers of the law and the elders. He told the parable of the talents. And, of course, in the parable of the talents, he's basically saying that the kingdom is going to be taken away from you and given to somebody else. He says here in Mark 12, verses 10 and 11, he says, "Haven't you read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." So he's quoting Old Testament, and he's challenging them, says, "Haven't you read this? Don't you understand the point of this passage?" And, you know, what we're trying to get at here is it was something to be rebuked when, you know, they'd seen this passage all along, but they hadn't gotten the point of it. They hadn't understood it. They hadn't thought through it and said, you know, I wonder if he's talking about me. Okay, maybe I need to change some things. So again, Jesus expected them to know the Scriptures, and when they didn't use them, it's not only they didn't know the passage, but they didn't understand it, they didn't use it correctly. So we have to ask ourselves, you know, what would he say about my knowledge of the Scriptures, or your knowledge of the Scriptures? You know, not only did he expect them to know the Scriptures, Jesus accepted the Old Testament as fact. It's historical events that really happened. Here we have just a list, as many as I could fit on one slide, of places in the Old Testament that Jesus referred to as a fact, something that happened. You know, he talks about Abel, he talks about Noah, you know, more than one place. He talks about Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was a fact in Jesus' mind. Okay, he affirms that that was a fact. He affirms that, you know, the story about Lot and about his wife, about manna being provided from heaven, he affirms that to be a fact, something that really happened. He affirms, you know, Moses and the serpent and the snake, where they raised it on the pole for the people that had been bitten by snakes. And, you know, that was a fact. And Jesus, you know, Jesus refers to it as a fact. Jonah, the story about Jonah and about Nineveh, that whole thing, Jesus refers to that as a fact. He talks about the Queen of Sheba, you know, coming to see Solomon. And again, as a fact, something that really happened. It wasn't just a myth or a story. He talks about Isaiah as being, you know, a factual person, a prophet who's, you know, who taught these things. And same thing with Daniel. That, you know, when Daniel wrote, he was a real person. So, you know, if Jesus treats these things as facts, you know, the reason that's significant, of course, I mean, I think, you know, we could say, okay, yeah, of course, all of us take that as fact. But in our culture, there are people who would say those things, some of those things are myths. People would say that's just a legend, it's a story. There's a principle in it somewhere that you ought to think about, but it didn't really happen. That's what they would say. But Jesus said something very different from that. He said those things are facts. They actually happened. Okay. He also confirmed who wrote these books. You know, a lot of times you find people saying, well, I don't know if Isaiah really wrote Isaiah, or he only wrote part of Isaiah, or part of it was written later, or you find all these kinds of things people say about stuff. Jesus confirmed who wrote these books, starting from the books of the law. In Matthew 19, verses 7 and 8, talking about divorce. He says, Moses wrote this, and he tells why he wrote it, because of the hardness of your heart. So he confirms that Moses wrote that. in Mark 7:10, talking about worship in vain. He says, Moses said, honor your father and mother. Okay, it was Moses that said that. It wasn't some guy that wrote it later, or it was Moses who said that. In Luke 5, he talks about the leper. He tells him to go offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded. So again, it was Moses who wrote those things. Jesus confirms who wrote the books of the law. He confirms who wrote the book of Isaiah. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. And he quotes from the book of Isaiah. So that was from Isaiah. Isaiah wrote that. But he was prophesying when he did it. Okay. So he says, Isaiah wrote that, but it came from God, right? Jonah. Again, he says that was written by Jonah. He says, no sign except that given by the prophet Jonah. The prophet Jonah gave the sign, being in the fish for 3 days, right? Daniel. Again, he says, when you see the abomination that brings desolation written about by the prophet Daniel, right? So he attributes the book of Daniel to Daniel. Okay. We'll put the slides on the website too, but I will go. I'll try to go slower. All right. I apologize. There's a lot of. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, and they're going to be on the screen. So maybe instead of flipping to them, you can write them down if that's what you're trying to do. But we'll try to get this on the website. Okay. So Daniel was written by Daniel. In summary of that section, Jesus accepted the established authors of the Old Testament books. And, that's significant. That's significant because we have a lot of people today who don't. But if the one who was raised from the dead, the one who claims to have been the Son of God, the one who people died rather than deny he was the Son of God, people who knew him and walked with him, if he says that they were written by those folks, I take that as that's conclusive to me. So, not only did he say that the authors are confirmed, he confirms that God spoke through the prophets. Jesus taught that the scriptures are the words of God, not man. In Matthew 22, verses 31 and 32, he says, but about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the living. So here he is attributing that statement not to Moses who wrote it, who's already said that Moses wrote those books, but now he's saying that that was said by God. Okay. He's talking about the scriptures are the words of God, not man. When he was asked, whose son is the Christ? I think it was the teachers of the law. And he says to them, they answered him, gave him the wrong answer. They said the son of David. And he says, how then is it that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? Okay, so he attributes a quote out of the Psalms to David. Okay, so that was written by David. Not only that, but he says he was speaking how? Through the Spirit. Okay, so this is Jesus, the Son of God, telling us that David wrote that, but it came from the Spirit. Okay. So that's how we ought to be using the scriptures. Okay. Again, Jesus teaching that Jesus has taught that the scriptures are the words of God, not man. The scriptures are God-breathed. They come from the Spirit. And, it's a direct inspiration. We're going to look at a few more passages talking about that. But this is a teaching to be believed. Okay. Our questions we're trying to ask, we can believe this. This is something we need to just put our full weight of faith on, that the scriptures come from God. And that they are accurate, they were written by who they say they were written by. And that, again, that they came from God. Okay. Verbal inspiration. A lot of times people say, well, the scriptures have good principles in them, but they're really sort of filtered through the person that wrote them. So you have to kind of look and see what part of what they wrote is really true and what part of what they wrote is the real principle. And, people kind of throw out stuff that doesn't seem right to them. Okay. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus says here, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Think about that for a minute. You require, in order to live the way God intends for you to live, you require every word that came from the mouth of God. Because that's what you live by. So how many words that God spoke are you free to not have? You know, he says you need every word. So it's not just, you need the general principles and it's okay if you miss some. It's important to have all of it. Okay? You're not going to have all the things God intends for you to have if you don't have every word. And so that implies, of course, that we can have every word that came from the mouth of God, doesn't it? Okay? Now, where would we get that? Where else could we get that but the Scriptures? And suppose the Scriptures contain some words that are the words of God. Maybe all of them are in there. But there's also some words that aren't the words of God. How would you know which was which? You know, the only way you can really know that you've got all the words of God is if you know where they are and there's not other stuff mixed in with them. Okay, so this is, we can't live without verbal inspiration is really what he says here. And, you know, that's a teaching we can put our full weight on. Matthew 5:18. He says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Think about that from the perspective of verbal inspiration. He doesn't just say not one word is going to disappear, right? Not one letter in a word is going to disappear. Not one stroke of a pen, not a dot of an I, not a cross of a T. Not one mark is going to disappear until everything is accomplished. Every word, every part of every word is a part of the inspired Scripture. That's what he says here. Okay, he's talking here specifically about the law. He says it's not going to pass away until everything is accomplished. So the way Jesus used the Old Testament law was it was precisely, exactly, every word was authoritative and from God. And, that runs counter to the way a lot of churches handle the Scriptures today. Okay. So, you'll hear people talking about that, saying, you know, we don't believe in verbal plenary inspiration and all this kind of stuff. But the scriptures themselves claim to be inspired, and that's how Jesus used them, verbally inspired. Okay. You know, the Scriptures are sufficient. Jesus taught that Scriptures are really all we need in order to understand and respond to God. He says in Luke 16:31, he says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. The Scriptures, you know, you might think, boy, it would have been great to have been alive when Jesus was around and to see the miracles. And yeah, it would have been great. I would love to have seen that. But in terms of the effect that would have on my living my Christian life, what I have is better than that. You know, those guys didn't have the New Testament, right? Okay, we have the New Testament. And he says that, and here he's talking about, of course, the Old Testament, about having Moses and the prophets, having the Old Testament Scriptures. But the point is that the Scriptures are superior to the miracles in terms of their motivating us and teaching us and enabling us to live the Christian life. You know, he talks about the Scriptures being the final word. We've looked at this passage before, and we're going to look at it a couple of times here. It says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, the context of that, of course, is that Jesus was being tempted by the devil while he was fasting to eat. He said, you can turn this stone into bread. You're the Son of God. You know, and Jesus answers with this. Jesus was submitting to the Scriptures when he did that. Jesus was, he was saying, the scriptures say this, and so there's nothing you can say that's going to tempt me to do differently. Okay, Jesus was, the Scriptures were the final word in that discussion. It was like, here's Satan himself arguing, and Jesus answered for the Scripture, and that ends the discussion. The Scriptures were the final word. Jesus submitted to the Scriptures. Again, in this case, you know, He didn't turn the bread into the stone into bread, did he? Okay. He says, and the reason he didn't was because of the Scriptures. So he submitted to the Scriptures. Matthew 26:53-54, Another example of Jesus submitting the scriptures, a pretty impressive one, by the way. He says, Do you not think I can call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? You know, Jesus had the option. He had the capability of putting a stop to his arrest and going to the cross. But he submitted to the scriptures and he didn't. So think about that for a minute. The Son of God created the universe, submitted to the scriptures. Now, how about you and me? You know, if we don't submit to the scriptures, you know, how could we not submit if the Son of God himself submitted to the scriptures? Okay, he set us that example. It's an example to follow, even when it was hard. And by the way, going to the cross was hard. You know, in case you hadn't thought about that, going to the cross was hard. So when, you know, how do we do when we face a scripture that's hard to obey? Something that's going to cause us to change fundamental things in our life. You know, how do we respond? Jesus submitted to the scriptures even when it was hard. Okay. Matthew 22. We can turn to this one. Matthew 22, verses 41 to 46. It says, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Okay. I love this example, you know, because Jesus, again, is using the scriptures as the final word in an argument. And he knew the scriptures. He quoted it. He didn't have to turn to it in a scroll, right? He corrected them using scriptures. He points out that it's the Spirit speaking. You know, we've mentioned this passage earlier and said that. But not just David. He bases his argument on a single word. I think that's significant. It says, the Lord said to my Lord. So the actual choice of words there, it wasn't the writer's prerogative to use those words. He couldn't have used different words, said it differently and left that out. That was important. And the exact words he chose were important. It was the final word. It settled the argument. And he knew it by heart. It's an example for us to follow. So can we use the scriptures like that? You know, we certainly are permitted to use the scriptures that way. Are we able to use the scriptures that way? Do we know the scriptures that well? Do we use the scriptures that way? Okay, we need to follow that example. We need to learn them. They need to be a part of our life. You need to be talking about them when, you know, when something comes up at the dinner table with your kids. You quote a scripture and you say, how would this be true? You correct them, kind of like Jesus did in this example. You know, or you teach, or you correct yourself, you know. You're submitting to the scriptures just like Jesus did. Okay. You know, he goes on, he talks about, in many cases, he talks about the fact that, I have to get caught up with my notes here. Okay, you know, basically the idea that Jesus was not going to just leave us with the Old Testament, but he was going to send more revelation. And I think that, you know, through the apostles, he selected 12, he had designated them to be apostles, to be with him and to send them out to preach and to do miracles and so forth. But the point is that when he sent them out, they were carrying his message. We're going to look at some passages that talk about that. What Jesus said about, this is really Jesus talking about the New Testament scriptures, the things that came through the apostles and through the people that were with the apostles. In Luke 10:16, he says, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When Jesus sent the apostles to go preach the gospel to all nations, they were carrying the word of God. He says, when they reject you, they're rejecting me. They carried authority from God. It wasn't their own authority, but they carried it. And when they spoke, when they wrote and said, this is the way it should be, they were speaking the words of God. He says, he who rejects you rejects me. So when we reject something that Paul wrote about marriage, homosexuality or divorce or role women or any of these other controversial subjects in our culture, when we challenge or reject the words of Paul on those subjects, we're rejecting the words of God. That's what he's saying here. The apostles' teaching was Jesus' teaching. Again, he says, I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Kind of the same thing he said before, but he said it over and over again. Sounds like it was a pretty important thing, right? It wasn't sufficient just to say it once and hope they got it. You know, he continued to repeat that. So when we accept the apostles' teaching, we're accepting the teachings of God. Okay. Again, the apostles' teaching was Jesus' teaching. John 14, he says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So here's the promise that telling them a little more about how he's going to speak through them. He's going to give them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach them everything and will remind them of everything he said. They're going to have correct remembrance, correct understanding. They're going to be able to explain it exactly the way God wants it explained. John 16, verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not only speak on his own, he will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So think about this. The Holy Spirit himself didn't have the discretion to say whatever he wanted to, right? He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He's going to speak what God sent him to speak. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit himself couldn't do that, how about Peter? How about Paul? How about John? You know, how about Jude? How about all those guys? You know, they were expected and they wrote exactly what God sent. The message was important down to the word. And it was delivered just like he intended it to be delivered. 1 Corinthians 2:13, we're now beyond things that Jesus said, but we're looking at the evidence after the fact of what Jesus said in the past few verses that we looked at. In 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, this is what we speak. This is Paul talking. It says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. When Paul is teaching the Corinthians, he is teaching them in words taught by the Spirit. Okay, they came from God. Not human wisdom. Not Paul's human wisdom. Not anybody else's human wisdom. Galatians 1:12 says, I did not receive it from any man, talking about the gospel he preaches. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Okay. Paul received the message directly from Jesus. Okay. Which is what Jesus promised to the apostles. Okay. Paul was added later as an apostle, but directly by Jesus. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. We just looked at that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, which you have heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. It's a pretty audacious claim, right? That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. He would deliver His words through these people by inspiration from the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, he says, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's how inspiration came. Men spoke from God, carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's consistent with everything else we've seen. He says in chapter 3:15, talks about Paul. It says, Paul wrote to you with wisdom God gave him. Here's Peter confirming the source of Paul's writings. It says, talks about his letters. He says, people distort the things he writes in his letters as they do the other scriptures. He just comes right out and says, Paul's letters are scripture. Okay, this is Peter confirming Paul. So we have all these connections back and forth, but these are just examples of carrying out what Jesus promised in those other earlier verses. So in conclusion here, we know that Jesus knew the scriptures. Okay, we've seen how he learned them as a child, how he amazed people with how well he knew them. He expected others to know the scriptures. He rebuked them when they didn't. Okay, and he accepted the scriptures as absolutely accurate. You know, who wrote them, the words they used, the facts that even the miracles, the things that people, how did Jonah live 3 days in the belly of a fish? You know, we'll find that out later. But he did. The Son of God who rose from the dead told us he did. Okay. He never hinted, this is important, he never hinted to any part of the Scriptures being obsolete. At the time he wrote, at the time Jesus was alive, the Old Testament Scriptures were like, some of them were over 1,000 years old since they'd been written. I mean, the law was written before the period of Judges, which lasted for, I don't know, 700 years, something like that. And then the period of the kings, which was like 500 years. And then, you know, you had probably more like 1,500 years old. And, you know, so they were very old. And yet, you don't find Jesus or any other New Testament writer saying that culture has changed, and so those rules don't apply anymore. Yet we find people today, people in pulpits and churches even, saying culture has changed, and so the rules are different. You know, because what God wrote is obsolete. You don't find Jesus treating the Scriptures that way. You don't find any of His apostles treating the Scriptures that way. Jesus submitted to the Scriptures. He expected others to submit to the Scriptures, and He warned those who didn't. So, in conclusion, you know, our theme this year is Jesus is Lord. You know, we want to be like Jesus in how we use the Scriptures. We need to trust the Scriptures the same way He did. We need to put our full weight on them, on what they say, word for word. And we should submit to the Scriptures just like He did. You know, if not, why not? He's the Son of God. If he submits to Him, and when He's our Lord, obviously we have to submit to Him. So that's the class. And next time, I believe Steve Collier will be up next week.